You're listening to Radio Hangar, where the aviation conversation never stops. I'm Ramp, and this is Ramped Check. And folks, I don't even know where to begin today because I'm standing on the ramp at Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and every single direction I look, there's something that makes my heart beat a little faster. Let me take you there. It's early morning. The sun is barely up over Lake Winnebago, and the grass is still wet. You can smell it, that mix of dew and avgas and bratwurst smoke from somewhere already firing up a grill at 6:30 in the morning. Because that's Oshkosh. That's the Experimental Aircraft Association's Air Venture, the single greatest gathering of aviation humanity on the face of this planet. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up, mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, let me set the scene for you if you've never been. Imagine 10,000 airplanes. I'm not exaggerating. 10,000 aircraft parked on grass, on taxiways, lined up along runways, tucked into every conceivable corner of a field that for 51 weeks of the year is a modest regional airport in eastern Wisconsin. And then for 1 week, it becomes the busiest airport in the world. The busiest, more operations than O'Hare, more than Atlanta Hartsfield, more than Heathrow, Whitman Regional. With its runways 18/36 and 27/9, plus the famous FISC arrival procedure that controllers have turned into an art form. And speaking of the FISC arrival, if you've never flown it, put it on your bucket list. You're part of a conga line of aircraft stretching for miles, following the railroad tracks into Oshkosh, speed and altitude assigned by frequency. The controllers call you by aircraft color and type, because there are too many planes to use call signs. You hear things on the radio you will never hear anywhere else on Earth. Red and white Cessna 172, rock your wings. You're cleared to land runway 27, the green dot. And you do it. You rock your wings, and suddenly you're part of this massive, beautiful, organized chaos that somehow works flawlessly year after year. The volunteers who run that arrival procedure deserve a medal. Every single one of them. I walked the flight line this morning just as the early arrivals were settling in. There's a staggering Beechcraft parked next to a RV-10, a Piper Cub with no electrical system whatsoever sitting 30 feet from a Cirrus Vision jet. That's Oshkosh. A $200,000 airplane and a $2 million airplane side by side, and both pilots are standing between them drinking coffee out of the same foam cups and talking about crosswind landings like old friends, because they are, or they will be by the end of the conversation. I found a guy named Dave this morning. Dave flew his 1946 Aeronca Champ all the way from Bozeman, Montana. Took him 3 days. He slept under the wing twice. He's 74 years old. I asked him why he does it, why he makes that trip in a little 65-horsepower tail dragger with no GPS, no autopilot, and honestly not much of a heater. He looked at me like I'd asked him why he breathes. He said, "Ramp. The day I stop coming to Oshkosh is the day I stop flying, and the day I stop flying well." He didn't finish the sentence. He didn't have to. That's the thing about this place. You come for the airplanes, but you stay for the people. You stay for conversations like that. You stay because every single person here, all 600,000 of them over the course of the week, every one of them gets it. They understand the thing that's hard to explain to people who don't fly. Now let me walk you through what a day at Air Venture actually looks like. Because it's overwhelming in the best possible way. Morning starts in the campgrounds. There are campgrounds everywhere. Camp Schuller is legendary. Thousands of tents and RVs stretched across acres of grass. People have been coming to the same spot for 30-40 years. They've got their camped chairs set up, their wind socks on poles, their avgas-scented candles. I'm not kidding about those candles. You can buy them here. The smell of camping stoves and bacon rolls through the grounds, and everyone is up early because nobody wants to miss a minute. By 8 o'clock, the exhibit hangars are open, and this isn't your local trade show. This is a city of aviation vendors, everything from the latest avionics from Garmin and Dynon to handmade leather flight bags. You can buy a home-built kit for a van's RV-14. You can buy a turbine engine. You can sit in the cockpit of a new Pipistrel electric trainer. You can talk to the engineers who designed the wing spar of the Icon A5. These aren't salespeople behind a table. These are engineers, designers, test pilots, and they want to talk to you. They're as excited to be here as you are. The forums start at the same time, hundreds of them over the course of the week. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, sends people to talk about regulatory changes. Garmin does deep dives on their latest panel updates. There are forums on bush flying, on aerobatics, on building your own airplane in your garage. I sat in on one yesterday about engine management in Lycoming four-cylinder engines, and I swear the room was standing room. Only 200 people geeking out about exhaust gas temperature management at 9 in the morning. You have to see this to believe it. Then the afternoon air show starts, and this is where Oshkosh becomes something otherworldly. The daily air show at Air Venture is the largest civilian air show in the world. It runs for 3, sometimes 4 hours, and the variety is staggering. You'll see a solo routine from a Pitts special, all snap rolls and tumbles at 500 feet, and then the announcer goes quiet and you hear it before you see it. That low rumble and a P-51 Mustang comes roaring down show center at 300 knots, trailing that unmistakable Merlin engine sound that makes grown adults weep openly on the flight line. I've seen it happen. I've done it myself. Then the warbirds come out in force, Texas flying legends with a formation of World War II fighters, a B-25 Mitchell bomber, sometimes a B-29 Superfortress, one of only two still flying. The commemorative Air Force brings everything they've got. The sound of 1,200-horsepower radial engines in formation is something that vibrates in your chest. It's not just loud, it's physical. You feel it in your ribs. And then, just when you think it can't get better, the military performs. The United States Air Force Thunderbirds or the Navy Blue Angels, depending on the year. F-16 Fighting Falcons or F-18 Super Hornets, flying in formation so tight it looks like the wings are touching. The crowd goes absolutely silent during the high-speed passes. 20,000 people holding their breath at the same time, and then the sonic crack of the sneak pass from behind and the whole place erupts. But here's what I love most about the Oshkosh Air Show. It's not just the headline acts, it's the gaps between them. It's the ultralight flying demonstration in the morning where little single-seat aircraft buzz around at 45 knots and everyone smiles. It's the short take-off and landing competition where bush pilots in Super Cubs and Carbon Cubs try to get airborne in less than 100 feet. It's the night air show, which most people don't even know about, where performers fly with LED lights on their wings and pyrotechnics strapped to their smoke systems, painting the Wisconsin sky with fire and color while the crowd sits on blankets in the grass. Let me tell you about one moment from yesterday that I can't stop thinking about. I was walking through the Warbird area. This is the section where the vintage military aircraft are parked, and it's like walking through a living museum. I came across a T-6 Texan, a World War II trainer, polished aluminum, that beautiful greenhouse canopy, and sitting on the wing was a woman in her 80s. She had a photo album open on her lap. I asked if I could sit with her, she said. Sure. Her father flew T-6s as an instructor at Randolph Field in Texas during the war. He trained hundreds of cadets. She had photos of him standing next to an airplane that looked almost identical to the one she was sitting on. Almost 80 years later, she comes to Oshkosh every year just to sit near the T-6s. She said, it makes her feel close to him. That's Oshkosh. That's why 500,000 people come to a field in Wisconsin every July. It's not about the hardware. It's about what the hardware means. Now, practical information for those of you planning your first trip, and you should be planning your first trip. Air Venture typically runs the last week of July, 7 days. The Experimental Aircraft Association, or EAA, puts out the dates about a year in advance if you're flying in. Study the notice to air missions. Study the FISC arrival procedure. Watch the videos. Listen to recordings of previous year's arrivals. Know it cold before you get in that conga line. The controllers are patient, but they're busy, and they need you to be ready. If you're driving in, parking is surprisingly well organized for an event this size, but get there early. By mid-morning the lots fill up and you're walking a mile or more. Camping on the field is the quintessential Oshkosh experience. Camp Scholler for car campers, or if you fly in, you park right next to your airplane and camp under the wing. There's something primal and wonderful about sleeping next to your airplane, with 10,000 other pilots doing the same thing. Bring good shoes. You will walk 10 miles a day minimum. The grounds are enormous. Bring sunscreen. Bring rain gear. Wisconsin weather in July is unpredictable. I've been sunburned and soaked in the same afternoon. Food is everywhere. The bratwurst is legendary. The EAA volunteers run food stands that fund aviation scholarships. So every brat you eat is helping some kid learn to fly. There are sit-down restaurants near the grounds, too. Arby's does a pop-up. There's a Culver's nearby. But honestly, the brats on the field with a cold drink, sitting in the grass watching airplanes take off and land, that is the Oshkosh dining experience. And here's my biggest piece of advice. Don't try to see everything. You can't. Nobody can. Pick a few things each day that matter to you. Spend time in the areas you love. If you're a warbird person, spend a whole morning in the warbird area and talk to the crews. If you're a home builder, spend a day in the exhibit hangars touching rivets and asking questions. If you just want to watch airplanes, grab a chair by runway 27 and just sit. You'll see more variety in an hour than you'd see at most airports in a year. Bonanzas and Bearcats, Monies and Mustangs, experimental jets and J3 Cubs, all sharing the same pattern. One more thing, if you can, go to theatre in the woods. It's a little outdoor amphitheatre tucked back in the trees where they do evening programs, pilot presentations, aviation films, talks by astronauts and test pilots and record setters. It's intimate. It's personal. It's the kind of thing where you're sitting 20 feet from someone who walked on the moon and they're telling you what it felt like. That's not an exaggeration. That has literally happened at theatre in the woods. I'll be here all week, filing reports, talking to builders, eating too many bratwursts, and probably tearing up at least once more during the warbird parade, because that's what this place does to you. It reminds you why you fell in love with flying in the first place. For source material in this segment, I've drawn from EAA's official Air Venture Resources AOPA coverage of past events and conversations on the ground here at Whitman Field. Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast built by real pilots who love this stuff as much as you do. For more about the show and what we're up to, visit radiohangar.com.
I'm Ramp. Get yourself to Oshkosh. I don't care if you have to drive, fly, hitchhike, or walk. Just get here. Once you do, you'll understand. And you'll never miss another one. Radio Hangar. Clear skies and tailwinds.